Welcome in. Latest edition of that SCC podcast. Waiting for old Marler. Said he'd be here. And you know what I said? I said, I already got one guy who shows up late all the time. I am not waiting for another. Going live. Hopefully this guy gets done eating his Taco Bell or whatever he's doing. Ah, there he is.
Hey. Taco Bell? God, I hate this angle, Mike. Why do you do this to me every fucking episode?
I believe you control the angle, sir.
Oh, that's actually a good point, yeah. Just having some soup?
Yeah, that's Taco Bell. This is a man, believe it or not, that orders, what was it, $110 of fast food the other day?
$61 of Canes. Unbelievable. How are things? Worth it? Are you nervous about your game?
Not at all. Going to whoop Illinois' ass. So Shane and I are going to do a watch party later, so come check it out.
You said I wasn't invited.
Well, that's true. You're not. But now we're at the watch party of seeing you. It's like, Tommy boy, I can hear you getting fatter over there. But how are you? Do it.
If Bama loses to Indiana, I will feel myself naked in a bowl of soup.
You won't, you coward.
Because we're not going to fucking lose.
Does it concern you at all that all the footballs, except for one, favor Indiana in this matchup?
What did Bama get? Hell yeah, dude. Explosive plays on defense. By one. By one. That is tough. I mean, yeah, I think Indiana is the better team. I wish I could do the thing I did last time and like from last year and say, well, they haven't played anybody, but they've played a better schedule this year. I mean, like, I think that they are the best team in the country. I think they deserve to be ranked number one. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I think it's going to be a good game. I will tell you the same thing that I said to you before the Oklahoma game, and that is, I fucking love when Alabama has a chance to be an underdog. And there's when this line first opened, and you have to bear with me, by the way. I'm very stuffed up because I'm under the weather. But
I thought you were making that up.
No, not at all. I felt really bad, too, because I agreed to do a show with Connor O'Gary yesterday morning, and then you and I was just to it too. And then I went to the doctor, and he was like, he's like, no, you have like a, I don't know, it's like sinus congestion or whatever.
AIDS.
Too many things. I'm snorting up my nose. And so then, that's a joke, by the way. But yeah, so it was just like kind of it was an odd day. And then they gave me a steroid shot, Mike, that like, I was like, is this going to make me stronger? LOL. And they were like, it'll make you want to clean the house. And I was like, you gave me Adderall? And so then I was like,
did you crush it up and snort it, or did they inject it?
They wouldn't let me boof it up my butthole. Allie had to get the same thing because we both went under the weather. And so we get the steroid shot, and like, we're sitting there like 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. And usually we try to be in bed like somewhat or like 11 or so. And we're sitting here, and I was like, I feel fucking, I'm playing darts, like the best I've ever played. I'm like fucking fired up. And she's like, yeah, I am too. I feel good. And I was like, what the fuck did they give us? So
that would have been a time to do the show.
Yeah. I think that's why I texted you. I was like, I feel great. I'll be here tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. So
anyway, back to the Indiana thing. I think Indiana is a really good team. I think they deserve to be number one. Last year, I was very, very vocal about how fucking bad their schedule was, but they have been really, really good this year. And the thing that I look for in this game, like if you're Bama, I think you just thrive in that underdog competition. And I think the scary thing that nobody wants to talk about, Mike, like I've heard from everywhere, deservingly so, how good this Indiana team is. What's up, Evan Grimes? Thanks, brother. Always good to hear from you, dude.
He's a true dog.
I love Evan Grimes, dude. He is the GOAT. So I've heard it from a nonstop about how good Indiana is. Deservingly so. I think they're a really good team. I think the thing for me is Bama being in this role that everyone's counting them out again. And I'm fine. And I'm like, I get why, but they're the healthiest they've been all year. Not like since September, not the Georgia game, not the Florida State game. That we don't want to remember at all, but like the healthiest they've been all year. That availability report came out yesterday, and Mike, there was only three players on it. None of them starters. One of them isn't even an injury. It's because he got a fucking DUI. or something with Drake Kirkpatrick's son. But I mean, I think that them going into this game, like Indiana's really good at stopping the run. Well, fucking joke's on you guys. There is no run game for Alabama to stop. So I think that if they're going to win, they have to get out early. And I think the path to them winning is very real. I think there's a reason why that line came out and it was only 7. And my thought was like, oh my God, they're just fucking begging you to take Alabama. And now you're a week or so later, and that line hasn't changed at all. No one's really budging on it. So it is the third straight game you're an underdog. I don't think that's happened since 2007 or 2006, maybe. And I like where the team is at because of how healthy they are, like I said. And they're healthy in key spots, Mike. Like, they're healthy across the defensive line. They're healthy across the offensive line. And those are two units that have struggled at times this year but are finally back to full strength. And I'm going to call my shot right now. I picked Indiana to win, and I'm gonna stand by that for now, unless I keep talking for the next hour, which I will do, and get myself all riled up, which I will also probably do. But as of right now, 2:07 Central Time on Tuesday afternoon, Ryan Williams is going to have a breakout game. Ryan Williams is going to have a breakout game at some point this season, and it hasn't happened yet. And we're coming up near the end where it's got to happen soon. I think that everyone's kind of counted out on this or discounted like how important this kid is. We joked around so much last year about he's a 17-year-old kid. This kid has gone through some stuff from what I've heard, like behind the scenes and just from a confidence standpoint, all the negativity surrounding him, and then some other stuff even with some coaches that are kind of going out the door, and that's all I'll say about that, that he's had his confidence shaken a bunch, and he's also been banged up through most of the year, whether it's like the concussion he had early on in the year, then he had the hamstring injury for Tennessee and all these other things. He hasn't been his full self. And I don't know if he's back to that yet, but I do feel like one fucking 65-yard bomb where he gets one-on-one on somebody or, you know, catches a deep in and makes a guy miss and takes to the house. One of those happens and he's out of that slump. And I think he's going to be a massive, massive help to this team, and if they're gonna win,
and I don't know why this is like,
hold on. Let me say I'm gonna cut you off. Abebe 1227 says breakout game for the guy on the preseason Heisman list. Not really a definition of a breakout. Have you watched him play the entire year? Why the fuck are we talking about August? Like, have you watched him play at all? This would be a breakout game. I mean,
wait. Now this is sticking on that same theme. It's burned in my memory. Maybe my favorite tweet of the entire football season.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to think of the game. I think it may have been Wisconsin. I don't know. It was early in the season. Jesse Palmer calling an Alabama game.
Oh, God.
And he says, you know, Ryan Williams, just he's been off today. And Marla tweeted out, Jesse Palmer says this as he's laying motionless on the floor. Looked like he was dead on the floor.
Lifeless, you know? On the ground. He got destroyed to his head, and he's just like Weekend at Bernie's on the ground. And Jesse Palmer, he's been off today. He hasn't been himself. What's going on with you, big guy? Like, it was like somebody seeing somebody come out of rehab. And it's like, I haven't seen you in a while. Where you been? Like, what are you talking about?
Shout out Razorbass. He says, if Indiana wins, all the cousins are invited to Marler's wedding barbecue.
Not true at all. If Lamar Jackson goes off Sunday, is that a breakout game? I can't imagine us existing in a conversation I want to have less. Preseason Heisman talk when we're a day away from January fucking 1st and Lamar Jackson NFL talk. I can't imagine something I'm less suited to give a real response to. But I love you, Abebe, and I always will. And if 1227 is your birthday, then happy belated birthday.
Hey, did you hear Arch Manning may be as good as Tim Tebow? Let's discuss.
Yeah, I think Texas beats Michigan tomorrow in that Cheez-It Bowl national championship. That is, I think, like the lock of the year. By the way, also, I know the game is in a couple of hours, but I am like all hopped up on that steroid and Z-Pack shot that I got, and so
I'm fired up about the Music City Bowl.
I am. How many opt outs does Tennessee have? Because I should look that up.
They've had a couple. They had a defensive end, I think a receiver. You know, not a crazy amount.
Yeah, Brazel's not playing, right?
No, he's not playing. And Josephs is the defensive lineman I was referencing.
Yeah,
Josephs. I'm trying to think of any notable.
On the tip of all of our tongues, for sure.
But Joey Aguilar's playing.
Well, that's not good for you guys. there was a guy that was in my mentions the other day that was like, I made a joke at Tennessee. Oh, did you see my Christmas thing? I was like, what everyone wants for Christmas.
No, I missed it.
And then for Tennessee, thanks, dude. I tag you in literally every fucking graphic I post on Twitter, and you've never retweeted it.
I always mute you. No.
So it's just like literally all I asked for.
Colton Hood's out.
So I did what every team wants for Christmas, and I go through all 16 teams, and it's like most of it's a joke. It's like Tennessee, I put, who cares? Tennessee fans deserve nothing but sadness and coal.
Oh, is that why the guy got mad at you?
This one guy was just going in about how I don't watch film. And I was like,
I did retweet that guy.
I'm sure you did. That guy, he's not wrong. Like, that's not my lane. I don't fucking care to break down film.
You're not knower.
If you want to watch a game together and I'll be like, oh, wow, they're in this formation and this should have happened on this play and this guy did this, like, sure. But no, I got too much shit going on that I'm like, yeah, I went knee deep in the fucking Tennessee Vols, East Tennessee State, all 22 film. Like, fuck off, bro. It reminds me of that phrase, that clip from the show Friends.
Yeah.
When, like, Ross was like, were you not in science club in high school? And Joey was like, no, I had sex in high school, Ross. Like, that's, I'm not going to be fucking watching all 22 film. Anyway, there's people to do that. Go follow them too. But like that, I was thinking about that. Like that Aguilar has been so good when he doesn't throw interceptions, but he's like the definition of a gunslinger. And I think that Mike Matthews is going to have a big day in that game. But I also look at what Tennessee does well, better than any other team in the country. And we're already off the rails, 12 minutes in. Letters to God is not wrong. I think too. So the one thing that I think that Tennessee does better than anybody else in the country is they put themselves in positions to score fast and early. And when they're on script, they're better than anyone else in the country. They finished once again with the best first quarter scoring offense in the country at 12.9 points per game. They were third in the country in first half points per game. And I told you this stat going into the season. They were in going into this year, and I'll have to update it after the season. Josh Heupel offense at Tennessee scored first in 40 of his 52 games. Like, that's
damn
really, really good. And so, and it honestly, you watch them play, it's almost surprising to me they haven't done it more. They've scored first every year they've played Georgia under him. He does a really good job, even against elite defenses, at scoring first. So I think you look at what Illinois does offensively, they're not bad. I mean, it's like Altmaier's kind of the opposite of Aguilar, where he's like very not conservative, but he protects the football a lot better. He's got, I think, one more interception his last two seasons combined than Aguilar does this year alone. So it's like, I think that they are going to be able to play that slow brand of football where they just, the Novocaine thing, where it's like they just try to make you beat yourself like they did in South Carolina last year. But Tennessee in the first half, -2.5, that and Texas tomorrow, -6.5, feel like the locks of the entire bowl season.
I missed Arian Carter too. He's out, so he's a really good linebacker. But
and Boo Carter.
The rest of these guys, are in the portal and not contributors really. But so yeah, there's a couple of key guys out for Tennessee. I'm
sure defensive back playing.
Which one?
Jermon McCoy. He gonna make it. He gonna make an appearance.
What if he finally did this? For that would be, up?
He just comes out of the fucking Raptors like Sting, just for no reason at all. Oh God, that's Jermon McCoy's music.
I just looked it up. For $120, I can go sit on the 50-yard line about 20 rows up. The game's in 2.5 hours. Should I do it? Should I pull the trigger?
Isn't it like 12 blocks from your house? Like, probably.
I didn't even know the game was. I mean, I kind of knew it was today. It's right down the street. Yeah, but I completely forgot.
That is the definition of professionalism from Mike Bratton there. I don't even know my favorite team was playing today down the street. If Bama was playing in Hawaii, I would know it. If Bama was playing in my fucking backyard, I would be like, I'm here. Where do you need me, DeBoer?
Well, I don't know. These games have just kind of lost all their luster, you know?
I'm not going to be negative with you today. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's
black face paint.
All right. So here's the real reason, which I don't know what the weather's like at your house, But it was beautiful last week.
Bullshit.
Right now, it was 70 degrees last week here.
Disgusting. You should never be in shorts at Christmas.
It's 36 degrees today.
Yeah.
So do I want to go sit for 3.5 hours and it's going to get colder? I think I'm good.
It's 52 degrees here. So we're better than you. One. Emily's here.
Wait. Well, I've got some Auburn discussions for you, but let's say
that. Hold on, Mike. Hold on.
Let's go Sugar Bowl first.
They just lost another player.
I know. Oh, I believe me. I know. That's what we're going to talk about. But what's your thoughts on the Sugar Bowl heating up? Georgia, Ole Miss, any shot in hell that Ole Miss pulls the massive upset?
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance, to be honest. I think, like, I don't know about a really good chance, but it's really hard to beat a team twice. I think, again, Vegas came out with this line. I think it was around 7 points, which was kind of surprising since we've already seen it played once. That was at Georgia. I've maintained the fact that I think the Ole Miss they've kind of flown under the radar. We talked so much about A&M, and we didn't really talk as much about Ole Miss because they were just like so steady and consistent. And you look at some of these games, like that Oklahoma win, putting up 34 points against that team is really impressive. Picked.
Yeah, on the road too.
On the road, yeah. It's really hard to do that against Oklahoma teams on the road. Some people don't talk about that enough. I thought the way they came out against Tulane is exactly what I thought they would do, but they came out and fucking dominated from jump, played with the chip on their shoulder. They are a little bit banged up, which worries me, because you have Daquan Wright. This is going to sound very white. Was it Daquan or Naquan?
Daquan. Whitey.
So Jaquan Wright, Jaquellen.
Kiwan Lacy came out today and said he's good to go. Now, again, yeah, is that just talk? But
well, there's four players listed on the availability report that are probable. And I think the ones for Georgia are really interesting because it's like you get a tight end back that's fine. He hasn't played, I think, in like six games. But the Colby Young thing at receiver, where a guy that's still in their top three, I think, or maybe he's second in like receiving production for Georgia, and he's been out since October. Like he hasn't played meaningful snaps since the Ole Miss game. The first time around, which I think October 18th. And so Jaquan is a rapper, but it's J-K-W-O-N. Everybody in the club getting tipsy, Mike. So I think that go on. Tell us more.
what about Evan Grimes? It says Kirby's undefeated in rematches. Weren't the Oklahoma fans saying that about Venables about a week ago?
I think Kirby Smart and Brent Venables are the same caliber coach. That's a good point.
It's not about the coaches. It's about the statistic that they run with.
I think you're a statistic. So, I'm not. Listen. I'll just be as blunt as possible with the Kirby situation.
Wait, did you just say Brent Venables? So you're saying he's a better coach than Kirby?
Yes, I think everyone would agree with that. He's beaten Alabama more times. or the same amount, I guess. I think... And this is like, I think a pretty, it's a very fair thing to say, but it's also kind of dark given the nature around it. Notre Dame was a good team last year. They were a really good team this year. One of the things that bothers me more than anything in terms of narratives in college football, when they're wrong and you haven't done the basics of just like making an objective point, you don't want to sit here and base stuff off injuries or whatever else. Georgia and Notre Dame played the Sugar Bowl last year. Georgia had a backup quarterback making his first start, right? They also played the day after a fucking terrorist attack happened. And in a way that you – something you couldn't even fucking make up. The day of the game, as they're walking to the stadium, Kirby Smart's dad falls and then has to be rushed to the hospital and dies during the game. Mike, like – that's all, again, it's all dark, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Georgia, but can you fucking imagine a worse setup for anyone to succeed in with all of those things happening? And so I think that Kirby has been, he's put this team in such a good spot, and it mirrors not the team, it mirrors the trajectory of the season that 2022 team and that 2021 team, but especially that 2022 team went on, which is, hey, you kind of played with your food at times early. You weren't super challenged. Maybe you didn't look as good as we thought you should have in some areas. But by the end of the season, this team was fucking firing on all cylinders. You could really even say the 2023 team, minus the you know, unlucky loss to Alabama. But like, bring you down Tuesday with. And another thing, I think as long as Kirby Smart's dad doesn't die again, they win. So if you clip that, I'll fucking kill you.
Clip that.
But I do think, what's this guy talking about? Factual information. We're talking about bowl games. Bulldog, Mississippi, something you guys wouldn't. Oh, they're playing in one, aren't they?
Yeah, they got the Mayo Bowl.
Unbelievable. Bearded Rosie O'Donnell, I'll take it, dude. I'll take it. So I think that all those things factored in that loss last year. I don't think they're going to factor in this year. They're healthy. They are really kind of hitting stride. They didn't have any issues with Georgia Tech, who was a good team. They had issues with the year before. They had zero issues with Bama in the SEC championship game. And I think that the way they have played at times this year, it has allowed Kirby Smart to do what he does best, which is coach up this team and coach them hard as shit. And if you see any of the videos coming out of Athens, like, the audio of outside the practice facility is fucking hysterical. He is all over this team. So I'm very high on Georgia to win. I do think it's going to be a much better game. Cause I tell you what, man, I think if they had Kiffin still, I don't think it's that crazy of an idea that they could have been a team that could have played for a national championship. I don't know if that's not the case since he's gone. I don't know if it is the case since you now have a new coach that's going to be in the infancy of his head coaching career.
Well, speaking of Lane quitting, did you hear the breaking news from Ross Dellinger that Quinton and Governor Jeff Landry are considering going to the Sugar Bowl? What thoughts on that?
Stop. Also, dude, listen, I don't make good choices with my friendship sometimes. That's why we're still friends. But like, there's just no fucking reason if you are Lane Kiffin to associate yourself that closely with Governor Landry. I can tell you with 1,000% confidence, everything that guy says about how involved he is with the program is exaggerated at best and embellished at the least. I mean, that it is. It's not somebody I would try to. You don't want to be in his bad graces, but it's not somebody you need to be like, yeah, you know what? We're the two least likable people in this state right now. For some, let's fucking go to the Sugar Bowl together. Like, I don't.
I would argue Lane Kiffin's probably most popular man in that state.
Have you met me? Bearded Rosie O'Donnell?
I think everybody else hates Kiffin right now. I think the Louisiana people love him.
Which is why I don't know why he would go to the game. I think this is one of those things where it's like, I get it. I think that he probably thinks he is supporting his team. And if I'm speaking candidly, as someone that felt like, I mean, I was a pretty big douchebag in my 20s. He gives off the vibes. I'm talking about when I was attractive, Mike, and I could be. Okay. He gives off the vibes of like the guy that's like, date someone for 3 weeks, hooks up with them repeatedly, and then is like, I just got so much stuff going on right now. Like, I don't think I'm ready for anything serious. And it's like, okay, fucking whatever. And then like at Christmas reaches out and it's like, hey, saw you're dating someone new. I'm so happy for you. Like, that's Lane Kiffin. Like that's the vibe he's giving off, which is like, hey, I want the best of this team. I'm sure you do, but like you also just need to go about it in a way that is probably. Did he just try to spell Queefin?
I think so.
That's not how you spell that. But I do love the effort. Would be a great shirt to wear. Just spelled completely incorrectly, but like screaming about what it says. That's great. That's my take on Kiffin.
What do you honestly think? Do you think he's more wants to support his team, or he's an attention whore and he wants the attention?
Wait, say it again. I wasn't listening to you.
You said if he goes, he wants to go to support Ole Miss.
I agree with that.
Or, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I said, is it more he wants to support his team, or he's an attention whore who wants more attention?
If you want me to give you
the truth,
the therapy side of it, and I'm in therapy, so it's like I think I could speak on this. He is going because he wants to support that team. He's also going because he doesn't understand in his brain it's inappropriate to go. He thinks that by going, it is him showing support, and he's still a good guy, and he didn't mean to have all this turn out the way it did. And I'm sure he hopes they win, and they are super successful, and they can go win a national championship. I think he would want them to win, especially the next two games, but especially on Saturday. I think the other part of it is he's doing all this because what a lot of narcissists do, and a lot of narcissists that are very, very self-absorbed and lacking self-awareness, they go to these things, and they do things like this to tell themselves, you're not a bad person. Look at the effort you're putting in. Everyone else may think it, but look at these lengths that I have gone to make you feel like, or to make me feel like, well, I guess a better way to phrase this, to make you like look at me and feel like, hey, that guy actually did something nice. But no one's thinking that besides yourself. So it's completely a for himself only move that everyone can tell. I do think that there is a good part of him that wants to see them win. But all those things that you said, and I think all the things that I said are probably all true like, all at once, where he is going for a lot of his own issues isn't the right word, but like he's going for a lot of his own reward, I guess, and benefit because he wants to think that he didn't do something completely wrong, like everyone's saying.
Bo nails it here. So Lane Quinton stole a grocery basket so he could return it as a hero.
That was
got it.
I think the most like relatable thing about that, I've never stolen a grocery cart. I've stolen groceries. I've never stolen a grocery cart. Him having Trader Joe's sushi just plopped right on top of that basket was like, yeah, brother, I fucking hear that. That's great. So
I heard, I probably shouldn't say who, but I heard he was not happy that he was presented with the plastic bag. Did you see that? I'm sure you saw it, right?
Was it his like answer about it? Like, it's bad for the environment. And I was like, that's kind of like, I think he's joking, but it's also like that kind of argument is like one of my least favorite things where it's like, can you just fucking stop making jokes and admit that you were wrong about something? Like this is, sometimes it's weird. And I think for him, I think he's going to be a great coach. I think he's going to do really well at LSU. I can't wait for the portal to open and see what happens there. I think it's just such a weird spot right now because I also think if we're being honest, and I would really prefer you not to clip any of this. Never stolen condoms. They're all locked up. But I think that the real interesting part of this too is if this had gone the other way and they had lost without him, I think there's a bigger part of him that would feel like, told you it was all me. And there's that.
If they win it all without him, does that diminish him at all? Or is it more, does he get more respect for building a national championship team?
Oh, I think it diminishes him. The way it'll be perceived is it'll be diminished. Like, I don't think anyone's going to, I mean, maybe LSU fans will. And I think there's probably a decent, God damn it, kid. Got some money on Coastal Carolina. Need them to stop fucking around here. What's the best way to put it? I think the people that want to see him succeed will be, delusional is not the word, but they will justify it in a way to be like, well, see what he did at Ole Miss when he was able to build. And there's truth to that because Ole Miss was never a program that was going to compete for national championships until he got there. And I think what he did this year, it's so fascinating to see where he'll go with this because you've seen him be great with average quarterbacks. You've seen him be great with running back at Alabama. You've seen him be great with, you know, Jackson Dart, a former Elite 11 kid. You've seen him be great with a fucking Division II guy that no one knew about. So like, I think it'll be fascinating to see where he goes from like being able to develop that position, especially when he's at LSU and he'll have all this talent. The other side of that is, no, I think it definitely does diminish a lot of it. I think the majority of people on social media, especially, will say that it is diminished because you were able to get to the national championship or play in the quarterfinals, semifinals, whatever, without him. And maybe what Pete Golding said wasn't just coach speak propping up his OC after a press conference. And it was a lot of valid truth, which I personally believe is true. Like that Charlie Weiss is the play caller. And we, again, you and I've talked about this like almost every week in the past month or so. Head coaches get all the credit. Like we do the head coach rankings. We do all that shit. But the hires that you make make or break coaches in this day and age, unless you're a complete fucking moron and can't recruit and you're not a good coach in general. But the best head coaches often have really, really elite coordinators as well. And that's something he did, which you give him credit for, but you don't give him credit for, hey, he has a great play call on 3rd and 8. It's like, well, Charlie Weiss came up with that.
Mm. Hey, you just made me think of something.
Porn.
When it comes to Kiffin and what he excels at is, you know, managing quarterbacks, of course. But a lot of quarterbacks that he didn't recruit out of high school, like Jackson Dart, you just referenced, Matt Corral, many at Alabama, I think. He recruited Tua, right? But he never got to coach him, if I recall.
I think Sark was the main guy in charge of recruiting Tua, I think. I could be wrong about that. Or maybe Sark was the one for Bryce Young. I think Sark was Bryce Young.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Kiffin recruited Tua.
Yeah.
Because remember, Kiffin almost went to LSU before he got the FAU job.
Yeah.
And they were going to recruit Tua to LSU. I remember that pretty vividly. But here, in my roundabout way, here's my question. So a big reason I think Kiffin is at LSU now is, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but one, I think, is the ability to recruit at an elite level at a high school.
Yeah.
Easier. Does he do that at the quarterback position, or does he stay, maybe, or does he, you know, keep what's working with him with getting transfers? What do you think he'll do at LSU? I know obviously this year he's almost certainly going to get a transfer quarterback, but do you think that will be a cycle kind of like at Oregon and Texas Tech and all and yeah. Indiana? Do you think he's just going to do that forever?
Thanks, Berto. Berto said something nice on my personal page for the Locked On Gamecocks thing. He's like, you're great at what you do, and I appreciate you. And now he reminds me of a shit I took. I think it's such an interesting way to look at it, and I think it'll be fascinating to see what he does because he's been so good at the portal, right? Like in all 4 years, they finished top four, you know, in each of those 4 years, and including the number one class in one of them. I mean, he's really good at recruiting out of the portal and then developing those guys from there. I think what's interesting about LSU is, I mean, this is a state that just repeatedly produces elite talent. And you look at it from any way you want to look at it, from guys in the NFL per capita, from players that are five stars, top 100 recruits. Like they've had at least one five star every year, I think, for the past 7 years or so. Oftentimes they've had two. Like they are a very richly talented state, I guess, from a recruiting standpoint. This class for 2026 and next year for 2027 are two of the deepest classes in the history of this state. There's a fucking tight end from Ruston. I can't remember his name right now. I had to post a thing about him this morning. He's like 6'8", 240. He is the definition of a mismatch. He could be, in my opinion, one of the top players in the country. You have Elijah Haven, who is in some services, they think he's the number one quarterback in the country for next year. Some think he's the number one player in the country for 2027. And a consensus like top 5-10 player in the
I believe that tight end's name is Rusty Shackelford.
It is not. But I think that he's gonna have to recruit this state to keep the fans happy. Like you don't want to see those players leave, and then you'll have to start hearing the things about, well, that's why you needed Frank Wilson and all that kind of shit. You've seen him have success without having to do that. I think it'll be interesting from the quarterback position because you got a kid this year, Peyton Houston, who comes in, and I believe in this class, or maybe he's in 2027, from Evangel Christian. But you don't have anybody else coming in. Like Michael Van Buren said he wants to stay, and I think he is a suitable backup. If they go spend, everyone talks about Cam Coleman's in the portal. They're going to LSU's his first call. I don't think it is because I don't think they can go pay Cam Coleman and Sam Levitt that amount of money. And that's why I go back to the thing that I was saying earlier, Mike, which is like, what is so fascinating about where they'll go with this is I think you want to go get a guy like Sam Levitt. I think Sam Levitt is a really good quarterback that fits everything he wants to do. He's not just a pretty good passer. His completion percentage is kind of whatever. But like, he is a really good athlete. He's a great-looking kid, for one. Sam Levitt's hot as hell, bro. That kid's going to have a ball in Baton Rouge if he comes here. But like, really good West Coast looking like quarterback guy that has is a little bit of a gunslinger mentality, but doesn't have a ton of mistakes and is able to run the ball like really well. It's like Jackson Dart all over again, or Matt Corral all over again, which is he succeeded with them. Everything that Shannon Terry and On3 have reported is this market of quarterbacks is going to demand between $3 to $5 million on average. And that is $2 to $3 million more than they did a year ago. Maybe that's just what the new market will be. But also keep in mind, Mike, you're going to a situation now where the collectives can't just go fucking pay you. Like, you have to show to this clearinghouse, hey, this is anything over $600. This is what it's worth. Is that fair? The market value is $5 million for this batch of quarterbacks. Can you go get Sam Levitt and Cam Coleman in the same class if you're LSU? And of course, the two schools that stick out most, what do I sound jealous about? What the fuck did I feel like I'm making a lot of good points here, guys.
The attractive quarterback, I think.
No. What?
He's engaged.
I gave him a compliment. How do I sound jealous?
Like, I see what she's saying.
He's not that attractive, Mike, and he doesn't have that good of an arm. You should see. I'm going to put some film together of me in the backyard with my dog Pepper, throwing her the rock. I can't even give compliments, and I sound jealous giving a compliment. What the fuck are we talking about?
You are so easily to derail.
1,000%. So anyway, the two people that are going after him most are Oregon and LSU, and I think that's kind of expected, especially with what this kid is reportedly demanding. Go Coastal. We're winning money live, baby. So I think that part. I would love to see him end up here. I don't want to see Lagway, because I don't know if Lagway is good enough in this offense with some of the stuff that Kiffin has done. But the other side of it, the thing I think that is the most fascinating part of all of it, and this is what I alluded to earlier, if he misses out on Levitt or he has the option to get some other people, do you spend whatever money you have allocated for a quarterback? Do you spend $5 million or upwards of $4 million on a quarterback, knowing that you could still go get a Cam Coleman, you desperately need fucking linemen because you've lost 6 in the portal already, and knowing that, like, yeah, Matt Corral was a 4-star recruit and I was really good with him. Hey, Jacob Coker, 4-star recruit, I turned him into a really good player. Blake Sims, same thing. Jackson Dart became a 1st-round draft pick under me. But by the way, I also took a fucking Division II quarterback that no one wanted and turned him into one of the best quarterbacks in the entire country. So do I need Sam Levitt to go win games? Probably not. Fuck you, Mr. Bassman.
Well, speaking of losing in the portal, shout out them Auburn Tigers. And shout out, I want to get her credit, because Taylor Korn, she works for Next Round, I believe. She did all this, but what do we got? 29 players from Auburn in the transfer portal. Latest, Mr. Deuce Knight. Thoughts? Are you enjoying this?
Hold on. I want to point out something real quick. Emily Powell is insulting me right now, saying that I don't know why, but she's saying I got a cocaine razor in my stocking, and then somebody says I drop a lot of F-bombs. And what she meant to say was, limited vocabulary causes that, LOL. And what she typed out with her hands from her brain and saw with her eyes, so 3 fucking lines of defense, limited voluntarily causes that. So well done, Emily. Well done.
Maybe she's doing it with her thumbs.
Perfect, perfect transition. Let's talk about Auburn losing 28 players in the portal.
29 now.
29. The most. I don't have a limited vocabulary. I got a fucking great score on my SAT. I scored a 47 on the Wonderlic.
Wonderlic. I bet a different kind of Wonderlic. We're not.
It was for homeless gay people, but it was fine. I wonder who I could lick next. So the Auburn thing. I want to go in on Auburn just because Emily is projecting on me for no reason right now. I've done nothing but compliment one player with his looks and his abilities, and somehow I'm getting fucking raked over the coals. Auburn's lost 29 players, and there's a ton of fucking talent they've lost. Like, a ton of talent they've lost. It's the most they've lost in any year since the portal is open, so I get that part. And that it seems concerning, right? It's surprising to me because losing Deuce Knight, losing Cam Coleman, these are all things that I'm like, I feel like they would do pretty well in this offense. But I also understand from the receiver standpoint, this type of offense and the way they space out the receivers and the schematically what they do, it's not super conducive for developing elite NFL like draftable receivers. You saw it with Jalin Hyatt, who won the Blitnikoff and still hasn't really done much because he's just kind of a one route guy. I get wanting to get paid. I get maybe not wanting to coach or play for a new coach, whatever. I will say this for Auburn. They had all those guys on the team this year. They went fucking 5-7. So it's hard for me to look at this and be like, oh my God, this is, the sky is falling, because you had all them on your team this year and weren't very good. I think that Alex Golish would not have coached that team to 5-7. I think they would have been much better. But like, if you don't want to be at Auburn, a place that brought you in, it wasn't about money with Cam Coleman and did all these things to make sure you like believed in the culture, you believed in Auburn, they have the whole creed, all that kind of shit. Like, it's surprising to me that this many are leaving. It's not something I'm going to like lose a lot of sleep over, because, hey guys, if you want to talk shit on Instagram after you leave and you want to post, you know, whatever kind of weird ass Instagram story and how excited you are about leaving the new, like, because that's so standard now in college football. But like, I get it. Go get paid. But just know that you guys were the ones that were on the field going 5-7, not Alex Golish. And like, I would have loved to see Deuce Knight there. I love what he did against Mercer. I thought he should have been used more against Alabama. But dude, you've got a proven commodity coming in at quarterback. I feel like a guy like Alex Golish is going to look at this and be like, I don't give a fuck if I've lost all 85. We'll start from fucking scratch if we have to. Let's go win ball games, because that's what you paid me here to do. And I will, even with the mass exodus, Mike, I would bet you almost fucking anything this team goes to a bowl game in year one right away under Alex Golish. They are going to be better coached. They're going to be hungrier. They're going to be more disciplined. And they are going to be, like, not just schematically, but just from like a production standpoint, a discipline standpoint, Auburn's going to be a better football team. And again, to every Auburn player that left, like, I'm not an Auburn fan. It does me no benefit besides seeing my beautiful fiance happy occasionally on Saturdays if they win a game. You guys were the ones on the field that took them to 5-7. Like, you can blame Hugh Freeze on.
Uh-oh. I think Freeze got to him.
School in the SEC? What happened?
Oh, you froze up for a second. But you were making an excellent point. And, yeah, I can't disagree with anything you said. I mean, there's reports that Auburn had a top five paid NIL roster. Probably wasn't that high, but it was probably top 10 for sure. And when you lose that many games and the system, you know, everybody hates the system that we currently have, which I understand. But when you roll out a top 10 roster and you go 5-7, even in this conference, and many of these guys want more money.
Yeah.
Who in the hell is going to give it to them when they didn't do shit on the field? Now that's
Texas A&M.
That's not LSU. Everybody. Like Cam Coleman, he's elite, right? He probably deserves whatever's coming his way. And I heard he had a very healthy offer on the table.
Dude, that's like one of the other things too, that like somebody brought it up in the chat, and they're not wrong. Like Hugh Freeze, we kind of thought Hugh Freeze, I thought he was a perfect fit for Auburn. That whole fake I love Jesus bullshit that and I'm somehow morally superior to you, even though being a terrible person. Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to play so well down there. I think a lot of fans saw through his shit pretty early on. I also think that all of these players, Eric Singleton will be at Auburn for sure, is what I've told. I think the some of the stuff that I have heard from some of the players, and it's like from sources that I absolutely trust, like at Auburn, and have never steered me wrong before. Emotionally, they have, but like not with like any information. There's players like Jay Crawford, who I think is one of the best young defensive backs in the country, former Parkview High School Panther. I really, really talented. I'm hoping he goes to South Carolina. That's a dude that I was told had not one, but two, but three off-field issues with the law and was still demanding you know, a massive paycheck this year because it's his third year. And if you want me to say, and all that kind of leverage. And there's other people I heard that there were players before road games saying, I'm not getting on the plane unless you pay me such and such amount. And I'm not getting on the plane unless you, and then they did it. And I think that the culture that Hugh Freeze, I don't think it was, we just need to win this game. So like, let's just fucking do whatever, because it might be our last season. I think it's just, that's who he was. I think he was just, it was such an inmates run the asylum type situation with him. And because if there's one thing, he may have been really good at the, hey, we got to go identify that guy for like talent wise. We got to go get him. We got to go. This is what we need to win. Well, he might have been really good at all, at knowing the game of football. From a leadership standpoint, it's been shit. And that will certainly change under Alex Golish.
Mm. Well, any bashing of Hugh Freeze, I approve of all of it. So I do appreciate that. But so better days are ahead. I don't think it's quite, this is what we do every year, isn't it, Chris? We're like, before the portal, there's a team or two that gets hit pretty hard, and then they all freak out.
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, they're going to add 35 transfers.
They're going to have to. Right. For one. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it's again, I go back to that whole thing where it's like I'm not trying to be hard on this one team necessarily, but I'm just – or, like, these players that are leaving. But it's just like you were given everything you asked for. Like, I mean, like you said, they had one of the top payrolls in the country. Like, they went out and signed an elite portal class. I know for a fact that Cam Coleman and what's his name got over $1 million apiece, or at least $1 million apiece. The kid from Georgia Tech that transferred in there. I know they spent 1.2 on Jackson Arnold, which turned out to be a waste. And it also goes back to telling you, like, hey, like, if you bring in the wrong guy at quarterback, it's not, like, it can be a massive hindrance. Like you saw, like, Peyton Thorne was never a fit for Hugh Freeze, and Hugh Freeze made sure of that. Jackson Arnold was not, he just never progressed like the way we thought he probably would have out of high school, and that was also made sure of by Hugh Freeze. They had everything to put to succeed this year in place, and I think from a player standpoint especially, I think, like I said, the biggest takeaway out of all of this, Alex Golish, if you told him he had to start with 85, like, new players, I don't think he would give a shit, because I think he wants the challenge. And if you don't want to be there, then don't be there.
Hey, I told you, and you owe an apology to Vol Nation here, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you, you kind of look like Timberlake. Now, don't read the end of that, but...
Inverted. How big is Justin Timberlake's dick?
I don't want to know, but apparently it's...
Google it. Let's Google it. You know what? Put a picture in the chat, guys. And thank you, by the way. That guy, let me buy that guy a free membership. He just made my whole year. Hung like a doorbell. Oh, no. He's got a small dick.
Doorbell.
Voice of an angel, though. I always say I feel like God can't give everyone everything. You know what I mean? You don't see a lot of guys with huge dicks and great personalities.
That's true. Hey, what about the other games? Any quick thoughts on Oregon, Texas Tech, Miami, Ohio State?
Nah, I kind of like to keep this about dicks. How does everyone know Justin Timberlake's dick size?
Oh,
why am I being talked about that I have a mangina? What is going on in this thread?
Every I think time they've just hung out with you enough to kind of...
Every time I think I'm making, like, I'm like in my head today, I'm like, I've made a couple good points. Like, I'm in the middle. I made a couple good points. And then, like, I get to the comment section and it's like, Marlo's got a small dick and moans when he poops. I'm like, what? Like, only two of those things are true. Anyway, I think the Ohio State Miami game is fascinating for a number of reasons, because I think that Miami is way too much of an underdog here. It'll be interesting to see Ohio State coming off the loss for the second straight year and getting a good team in the first round. I think Miami is better than people realize, because they played in such a shitty conference and somehow didn't go 10-2, or somehow went 10-2 in that shitty conference. What are we talking? What is going on? My personality is awesome. Marlo just told him something. He's a great personality. You guys are, this is a lot. This is actually a lot. Anyway, so thanks. I can't. Okay, well, I'm not. Put this one up here.
It's all about the angle.
He gave me both. Can you zoom in on that emoji to tell me the tint of the
I cannot.
Okay. Well, yeah, no shit, dude. Of course he did. Anyway, so I can't. I think the Miami game is most interesting. I think that's the most lopsided and unrealistic line. I think Miami's going to be pretty good in that game. They're just – so the way we talked about Miami at the start of the year is still, I think, who they can be. That is like a team that is built like a championship team because they are built really, really well and really, really talented at the positions that you need them to. They don't have enough playmakers on offense outside of Malachi Toney, in my opinion, but they are figuring out the run game pretty well. And if Carson Beck cannot make mistakes, I think that's super helpful, obviously. And then the other big thing about it too is like I think Ohio State will turn on the film of Carson Beck and all of his biggest games at Georgia and the film that he had a couple times this year where it's like, dude, what the fuck were you doing in some of these games against Alabama last year, against Florida? Like figure out how to pressure and create defenses that are in like windows and stuff like that, that are constantly changing to throw him off. I think that's probably the smartest move. I still think that the defensive line for Miami, people forget this is an A&M offensive line that went into that game with 187 combined starts, 187, most in the country. And Miami was incredible. They allowed 13 sacks all season. Miami had 7. So I think the idea that this defense is not good enough to compete is really stupid. I think that'll be a much better game. The one I'm not most excited about, but pretty excited about is that Oregon Texas Tech game. I think that people just don't realize how good Texas Tech is still. And you could say it's because they played in a bad conference and maybe Oregon's more battle tested. I don't know. But every time they threw somebody in front of Texas Tech that we thought was going to be a really good game, Vegas told you what was going to happen. Vegas, I mean, BYU is a double digit underdog both times, and you had people clamoring for them to be fucking at a non AQ bid into the playoff, and they beat the shit out of them twice. So they're a really good defensive team, and they are really talented at several defensive positions. Like, and I don't mean just like, oh yeah, they got some really good guys that could be really good college football players. I mean, they've got some elite players. And if you haven't seen Jacob Rodriguez play yet, it's fucking awesome. He's so good at linebacker. I think it'd be great.
Which team would you rather face? So if Alabama wins the Rose Bowl,
shut it down. This is the best comment anyone's ever made.
Which one?
Marlo takes Viagra to keep from peeing on his shoes. This is good. These are all very creative. This is good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what were you saying? Which of these teams? Why? What?
Which team would you rather see? Assuming Alabama wins the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Would you rather Oregon or Texas Tech in the next round?
That's a good question. I think Oregon, because what Texas Tech is able to do defensively, I think is a worse matchup for Bama. Like they're just so good off the edge, man. And they're so good at forcing you to play left-handed. Oregon, I think, is a little bit of smoke and mirrors more so than Texas Tech. They just haven't been as consistent. I thought they looked good against JMU, I guess. But, like, they should have lost to Iowa. They got beat by 10 at home against Indiana. And there's times when Dante Moore hasn't looked great. And I think that, like you look at, like, Dante Moore against Iowa completed, like, 13 passes. I mean, like, it was a game they absolutely should have lost. And I think that is a – it's a team that I think can be really good, but how good are they away from home? They got to travel all the way across the country to go play Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech is probably going to travel more than Oregon, for one, because it's their first time doing this whole thing. I think they're going to win that game, though.
Hmm. And then, all right, last thing. You got Indiana over Bama. How confident? And Georgia over Ole Miss. How confident?
Indiana over Bama, 60%. 60, yeah, 60%.
69?
I love Bama as an underdog, dude. I just fucking love Bama's underdog. And let me ask you a question, because I've asked this before, I think, but I want to hear it again. Am I pretty? No. The question is, do you think, like, what does Bama have to do to make people not immediately go to Twitter tomorrow and be like, I told you they shouldn't have been in? Like, is it just?
I think if it's a fourth quarter game, I don't think that'll happen.
Okay,
If they lose by 10 or more, it's going to happen still.
See, I think that's the scary part if you're a Bama fan, because I think that it's going to be very evenly matched. I hope it's evenly matched throughout most of the game. But if Indiana can get up, there's no coach in the country that's going to want to be a bigger asshole than Cignetti. And like he has, I said it yesterday on some show, he's like the Michael Jordan thing where he's like, yeah, that guy said something about my sister and I knew I had to go fucking dice him up. And you're like, he never said that ever. You made that up in your own dumb head. Like to get a cycle, that gaslighting yourself into thinking weird things so you can win. Maybe it's a trait of champions. I think it's super fucking weird. It's like when Georgia was like, everyone said we were going 7-5. Like, no one fucking said that. No one said that.
Well, I know for sure who didn't say that. And that's our friends over at Tennessee Legend. Damn proud to be partnered with them this year. They've gifted Town Creek BC, Tony Canada, Tennessee Ball, McSniffery, that's Marler's Burner, and Dalton Burnett. Thank you, Tennessee Legend, and thank you to the legend, JR.
Legend, cousin JR has done it again.
He gets to Charles Eddie. Thank you, JR. Welcome to the family, all of y'all. I got to run here. I'm about to jump on with Paul Feinbaum.
So ooh, heard of him. Tell him I said hey.
Turn on SEC Network. I'll be live here in just a couple minutes. Anything else, Marla, before I hang up on you?
I hope some of you have a good new year. Not Emily.
Well, we hope you do, buddy. Thank you, and get the help you need. We'll see you next time.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.